Father, thank you so much for George. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in his heart. I pray that you spirit is fresh with your spirit, spiritual word, and grace and truth. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You all feeling sick to do?
Yes.
George, what importance. A couple of weeks ago, I was musing, as we sometimes do. I asked myself a question. The Bible tells us that in 6 days God created the world, and on the seventh day he rested. I wondered, was God tired? I did. And I felt, God wasn't tired. If you read all the versions, it says that God ceased from working. And I think God, well, I don't think, I know that God had a reason for resting on the seventh day. Now, if you're anything like me, I struggle. I really, really struggle with resting. And that's what I want to speak about today. It was so important to God that he instituted 3 Sabbath rests. And the first Sabbath rest was the weekly Sabbath, which the Israelites were to celebrate from dusk on the 6th day till dusk on the 7th. He also instituted the Sabbath year, where the Israelites were to rest from their work for a complete year, every 7 years. And on top of that, God instituted the Jubilee, which was another complete year. And they would abstain from work. And that would come about once every 50 years. Now, during the Jubilee, 3 things would happen. Debts that were owed to fellow Israelites would be cancelled. The land would be free from toil. And the third thing, this is this effort. Sounded very grammar. So yes, so the debts owed to from fellow Israelites would be cancelled. Slaves were set free, and the land would have a holiday as well. So I'd like to read, if you have a Bible or it may come up on the screen, doesn't matter, from Leviticus 25. Now I'm going to be reading from the NLT. And it says this: while Moses was on Mount Sinai, the Lord said to him, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you have entered the land I am giving you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath rest before the Lord every 7th year. For 6 years, you may plant your fields and prune your vineyards and harvest your crops. For during the seventh year, the land must have a Sabbath year of complete rest. It is the Lord's Sabbath. Do not plant your fields or prune your vineyards during that year. Do not store away the crops that grow on their own, or gather grapes from your own pruned vines. The land must have a year of complete rest. But you may eat whatever the land produces on its own during its Sabbath. This applies to you, your male and female servants, your hired workers, and the temporary residents who live with you. Your livestock and the wild animals in your land will also be allowed to eat what the land produces. In addition, you must count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 sets of 7 years, so 49 years. Then, on the Day of Atonement, in the 50th year, blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. Set this year apart as holy, a time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a jubilee year for you, when each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors and return to your own clan. This 50th year will be a jubilee for you. During that year, you must not plant your fields or store away any of the crops that grow on their own. And don't gather the grapes from your unpruned vines. It will be a jubilee year for you, and you must keep it holy. But you may eat whatever the land produces on its own. In the year of jubilee, each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors. So, it's easy to see that God was very, very concerned that the people would need rest. And so would the land. And today I want to look at the Jubilee. And I want to ask 4 questions. The questions are, firstly, what is a Jubilee? Why the Jubilee? Okay. When the Jubilee? And fourthly, what has it got to do with us? As we are not Israelites. So, first of all, what is the Jubilee? Well, as we just read, God commands a sabbatical year. A year of Jubilee for people, instead of working, the people were to spend the year praising and worshipping God. And during that time, they were to reflect on the goodness of God to Arthur. And, you know, we can, as we're listening, think about what we should be doing with our time. So the land was also to have a sabbatical. And during this year, as we just read, there was to be no sowing or pruning, no reaping, and no harvesting. The land and the people, and bear in mind that not everybody were farmers. Others had trades as well, but they too were to rest. So as we said in Genesis 7, on the seventh day, God rested, or God ceased from his works. And that was what God was saying to the Israelites. After 7 years, I want you to rest, and I want the land to rest. So no sowing, no farming. You are allowed to eat what that seventh year, vineyard would still produce grapes. Fig trees would still produce figs. And they were allowed to eat of that, but they weren't allowed to pick more than they needed and sell it to others. God would provide for them just as he did in the wilderness with the manna. The Jubilee then is a year of worship to God. And the Jubilee is a 1 year of Sundays, or Saturdays as it would be to the Jews. Can you imagine that? I can't get my head around that. A year of sitting by and doing nothing. I struggle to go away for a weekend and relax and rest. So I cannot imagine what it would be like for a complete year. I'd love to try it. But I imagine I would get very bored. But how can people have a Jubilee if they are servants or slaves of another? Doesn't their master then have a right to their services? And how can the land have a rest if the land is sold to somebody else? Doesn't the new owner have a right to plant and harvest? But to make the Jubilee a real Jubilee, to make the Sabbath year a real Sabbath year, God commands and grants liberty to the people and land. Now remember, we're talking about the Israelites here. We're not talking about the nations around. These are God's chosen people. And Leviticus 25:10 says, consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land. It shall be a Jubilee for you. Each one of you is to return to his family, property, and each to his own clan. In the Jubilee, there is liberty for people. What this means is that no Israelite could ever truly be a slave. If ever an Israelite, out of desperate need or poverty, had to sell himself and his family to another Israelite, he wasn't really selling himself or his family. He was selling manpower. And the price that the other Israelite would pay would be according to the number of years that would be left till the next Jubilee. So let's just say, for instance, a family was sold for £10,000 and it was year one after the Jubilee, then they would have another 49 years of £10,000 of work. But at the next Jubilee, they were allowed to go back to their land and to their clan. And the same would happen for the land. Let's say, for instance, a crop, which is what they were selling. They were selling their land to another person. Or basically, they were leasing the land. And the amount that they would get would be in accordance to how many years or how many crops were still available before the next Jubilee. So if there was 10 years of crops left at £10,000, they would gain £100,000. But at the end, when the Jubilee came, the land was theirs again. The lease was ended. So nobody was ever really a slave, and no one ever belonged to somebody else. And in the Jubilee, everyone was free to go back to their clan or their family land. Why the Jubilee? What was the purpose of the Jubilee? And the first purpose is to show the people that they are to live their lives in total faith and dependence upon God. And we are called to do that as well. So let me backtrack a moment. At the start of Leviticus, we hear God commands every 7th year to be a Sabbath year. And during that year, there was to be no sowing, reaping, or etc. Now, if we think about it, every 7th year, no sowing, no reaping, no harvesting. So, on the 6th year, God promised to provide abundant crops so that the Israelites would have enough to last 2 years. So they would gain their crops at the end of the 6th year. 7th year, no crops, but they would have enough to feed their families, etc., for 2 years. Because don't forget, in the 8th year, they would sow, but then they'd have to wait for almost another year before they could harvest. But God, in His goodness, would provide them with enough to last for the 2 years. Think about this now. 7 times 7, so 7 years when there's no crops, would lead us to the 49th year. That would be a Sabbath year. So no crops planted or harvested. People having a joy. It's lovely this, let's have a rest. But immediately following on from that would be a Jubilee. No sowing, no harvesting. For 2 years. And then, in the 51st year, they will be able to sow their crops again. But they would have to wait almost another year for the harvest to come in. So what does God say?
The people say,
what, how are we going to live? Yeah. That would be my first question. How are we supposed to put food on the table? How are we supposed to put clothing on the backs? What are we going to do? What does God say? You may ask. Yes. Leviticus 25 verse 20 tells us. You may ask, what will we eat in the 7th year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? God replies, I will send you such a blessing in the 6th year, or the 48th year, that the land will yield enough for 2 or 3 years. While you plant during the 8th year or the 48th year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the 9th or the 51st year comes in. God, in His goodness, will supply their needs. Can you imagine? Would have to do that today. Would we have faith in God to supply our needs for 3 years? That is what you call living by faith. I'd love to believe that I could. I probably would be able to. Well, please don't try that. But that's when faith has to. The second purpose of the Jubilee is to show that everyone belongs to God. Not just the land, but every person also. That is what we are created for. That's what the Israelites were created for. To worship, to rely, and to trust on the Lord Almighty. He is sovereign. And we must also remember that what God can give, God can also take away. So we can lay back and we can say, well, look at all this that we've achieved here. Great, isn't it? But God didn't have to give us, God didn't have to grant us the finances to do it. His mercy and His grace and His love, He provided everything that we needed. Psalm 24 tells us this: the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, our jobs, our homes, our businesses, our farms, ourselves, our families, everything belongs to Him. We merely are tenants on this mortal coil. God created it. He is sovereign. He can say what happens. And we must put our trust in Him. When is the Jubilee? Well, God commanded that it be every 50th year. And according to verse 9, it is to start on the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement. On this day, the high priest of the time would bathe himself and then dress in spotless white. He would offer both a bull and a goat as a sin offering. He would sprinkle their blood 7 times on the Ark of the Covenant. He then laid both hands on the head of a live goat and confesses over it all the wickedness, all the sin, all of the rebellion of the Israelites onto the head of this live goat. And then the goat is sent out in the wilderness in order to die. All the ceremonies and the rituals of the day were meant to symbolize the complete forgiveness of sin, the removal of God's wrath against that sin, and the restoration of peace and fellowship with God. That was his job on the day. And it's important that we understand the order. First, there are rituals of atonement. God's children are granted the assurance of salvation, forgiveness, of peace, and fellowship with God. Then, the horn is blown throughout the land, long and continuous. And then, the Jubilee begins. The people and land are now able to live the Jubilee. Their sins are forgiven. They are right with God, and they have been granted freedom and redemption. So that's what the Jubilee is. Why and when? You may be thinking, okay, what's that all got to do with us? Well, I think it has everything. And one of my favourite gospel readings is when Jesus, in his hometown, on the Sabbath day, goes into the synagogue, he stands up to read, and the scroll of Isaiah is handed to him. Unrolling it, he finds and reads, where Isaiah 61 speaks of freedom, release, and the year of the Lord's favor. Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What Jesus is doing there is alluding to the Jubilee, as was Isaiah. After reading this, Jesus rolls up the scroll, gives it back, and sits down, and all eyes are upon him. And then he says, this scripture has been fulfilled. In other words, this is the start. Wow. I bet you could have heard a pin drop in that room. And Jesus said that. However, the Old Testament order must be preserved. First there must be atonement. Then there is liberty. And then the Jubilee begins. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is our atonement. He is our scapegoat. He paid the price for our sin. He took on himself the wrath of God. And we now are the children of God who are set free. So what has the Jubilee got to do with us? Everything. Everything. In Jesus Christ, the year of Jubilee is and we are to live our lives as a Jubilee to the Lord. I love the picture of Israel's Jubilee in Leviticus. You're thinking, wow, what a God. Yet our Jubilee is far more beautiful. In Israel's Jubilee, only the Jews were redeemed, not the nations around. But our Jubilee is worldwide. It's for everyone. Both Jew and Gentile. For Israel, the Jubilee was once every 50 years. But for us, the Jubilee is not, has no time restraints. It's forever. The Jubilee of Israel covered only a small geographical area, the land of Canaan. Our Jubilee is worldwide. And the Jubilee of Israel rested upon the imperfect sacrifice of an imperfect priest. Our Jubilee rests upon the perfect sacrifice. Perfect high priest, Jesus Christ. Now, it said that there is no recorded history that the Israelites ever celebrated Jubilee. There are writings by Josephus and the Maccabees that pertain to the Jubilee.
there's no recorded history. I may be wrong.
That it's written down anywhere that they ever performed or ever celebrated
a Jubilee.
I sometimes question, are we indifferent? Do we live our lives? Do we live our lives as a Jubilee to the Lord? When we're moaning and we're complaining and we're feeling sorry for ourselves, does it speak to others that we have the beloved of Christ? That we are saved, sinners saved by grace. To live as a Jubilee to the Lord means three things. First, we are to live in total faith and dependence upon God. For 3 years, Israel could not harvest crops. Instead, she had to rely on God and His mercies. This doesn't mean that we can sit back for 3 years and do nothing. But it does mean that we are not to worry about where our next paycheck is going to come from, our next meal on the table is going to come from, what am I going to wear next week, or where am I going to sleep. We have Jehovah Jireh on our side. If you look back over your past life, has He ever let you down? Yes, He's gone through difficult times, but God always brings us through. And I can hold my hand to my heart and I can say truthfully that He has never let me down. I've gone through dark times, but He has always brought me through. And I know that He will continue to do that in the future. And we need to take hold of that and grasp onto it that He is the answer. The world will let us down miserably, but He won't. Second, it means that we are to show that everything belongs to God. Work as if you were working for Jesus. Study if you are, as if you were studying for Jesus. Help one another as if you were helping Jesus. Love one another. Fathers, love your wives and kids. Wives, love your husband and your children as if you were loving Christ Himself. That would show a hurting world that there is something different about us. That's what God wanted for the Israelites. He wanted them to be a nation that stood out from all of the nations around them. That the other nations would fear them because they knew that God was with them. And we are supposed to stand out from the crowd and live lives that they outside would want to have. Spend your money and your time as if they belong to Christ because they do. We are only stewards of what He gives us. We are called to share it, to give it out. And you know what? The more we give out, the more God gives us. It really does. was so careful of trying it, just in case he doesn't. And that's a tragedy. Thirdly, we need to make each year a year of worship to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this. You have given us the book of life with all the answers to life. We think sometimes that the Bible cannot tell us all that we need to know. Yes, it can. It is the inspired word of God. And Father, we need to take hold and grasp that you have plans for our lives that will give us a hope and a future, will give us an abundant life. Everything that we need in order to live that life has been granted to us through Christ our Lord. Whether we need peace, whether we need joy, whether we need guidance, whether we need strength, our finances are in your hands. We call you Jehovah Jireh. We need to stand fast on that rock. That is Jehovah Jireh. He will meet our needs. He does meet our needs. We can rely and trust in him. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will help us to live lives that are worthy of you. And help us to show a world that is desperate what it's like on the other side. So Lord, I just pray that as we go from this place and in this coming week, we will have a joyful countenance so that others outside may look upon our countenance and think, wow, why can't I be like that? And then give us an opportunity to tell them how they can be. We love you, Lord. We praise you. That's what day, this service has been all about, Lord, praising and glorifying God. Why? Because you are good. And that's what we are created to do. So worship the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Help us to do that, Holy Spirit, we pray. Be blessed. Fellowship together. If you have any questions about the topic this morning, see Mosh.